May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the great blessings that I have had in my years as a rector is the ability, through what is called the Rector's Discretionary Fund, to help those in need. Here at St. John's, as has always been my practice, every dollar that is given to the Discretionary Fund is given away. It all is given to three really main areas. One, primarily to people within our parish who perhaps are up against difficult circumstances to meet a need, a bill, a rent payment, a mortgage payment, food, an unexpected expense with a job loss. Some is used for Christian international outreach to support a program such as Food for the Poor or the Lamb Institute in Honduras. And much of it is given to local outreach within our community and within the state of Kentucky. And this past Friday evening, and I might share with you that over the course of these 2.5 years as your rector, probably, although it's a guesstimate, we've given probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $6,000 away to outreach from this fund. And this is an addition to the budget. This is a non-budgeted item. This is what you give to the Rector's Discretionary Fund on the first Sunday of the month, as well as many of you at other times of the year. And Friday evening, I had really a fun response for me, a fun way to be able to respond with that fund, in that I was asked by the Salvation Army if I could support the purchase of a bicycle for a little boy in need. His name is James. He's from another part of our state. And he comes from difficult circumstances. And so this 9-year-old's Christmas list is that he would get a bicycle for Christmas. And so, not being sure that Santa Claus could deliver on that, I thought that that would be a really wonderful thing for St. John's to be able to do for him. And so I went to the store, and I went to Dick's Sporting Goods. And it was Friday evening, and the weather was bad, so the mall was completely empty. And I was not in collar on Friday evening, and so as I was purchasing this bicycle from this really nice man that actually puts them together there, and it was a youth bicycle, nice, I sort of bought what I would want at 9 years old. The color, I thought was the most important thing probably. And I said to the fella as we were going through it, he wanted to, of course, sell me the warranty. And I said to him, let me explain to you, I don't need that because I'm actually giving this away. I said to him, I'm a priest and our church is doing this. And as wonderful and nice as he was, he then shared with me the story of how many times after the Christmas holiday, these bicycles sometimes come back. They try to return them, a parent that has a drug addiction, a mom trying to get the money for the bike to go buy crack cocaine or alcohol or whatever it is. And I said to him, well, I want you to remember this bicycle and don't take any exchanges on this because this is going to be for James. And he was a delightful man, and he led me to the register and we checked out together. And I thought about his story on Friday evening, and it was a story somewhat of hopelessness, and yet I would not let myself be hopeless. I shared with this salesman that a priest a long time ago, who has since gone to God, said to me, Philip, always err on the side of mercy. And so the hope is that that bicycle will be under the Christmas tree and that that little boy will somehow have a better Christmas and have a memory that he can carry with him into his older adult years and maybe someday pay it forward. Because we're in a season of hope. Hope in what God did for humanity in the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, hopelessness or living in hopelessness is something which slowly and painfully kills us. It kills the body, it kills the mind, it kills the soul of our very beings. And we find it not only in inner city neighborhoods, we find it in rural communities, we find it in the suburbs. We find it with people who have a lot, we find it with people who have some, we find it with people who have nothing. And it seems, though, that when you have nothing to hope for, you're probably better off if you were dead, because you have allowed death to take over your very being. We must have hope. This is a season of hope. And that is why we heard Isaiah's lesson this morning. Isaiah prophesied, "A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse," the stump of Jesse, "and a branch shall grow out of his roots." The prophet Isaiah was speaking in an historical context of hopelessness. He was proclaiming this message to the nation of Judah, which lived precariously in the shadow of Assyria, the Assyrian Empire, the Assyrian army, which was threatening to destroy them. They had taken over the northern kingdom of Israel. And when the people of Judah would look up, all they could see was this heavy cloud of darkness of that empire threatening them. How could they have hope for their future? Our secular hope, yours and mine, is challenged and can be beaten down every day in our lives. We may have had hope in a career that was suddenly thwarted by a national recession. I saw in the news just this week about young people that have been out of college with degrees for months and months and months and months and months trying to get that first job. We might have hope in a particular person and it ends in divorce. Hope in an individual whose life was taken too quickly from us. We can hope in all kinds of things that are of this world, and what Isaiah was saying is the only thing that you can hope for with any certainty is the hope of God. And in fact, Isaiah was prophesying about the birth of the Messiah. "A shoot shall come and a branch shall grow out of his roots." We're a small enough group today that I'm going to ask this question, and those of us that are old enough will have done this. How many of you, as a child, put toothpicks into a whole potato, stuck it in a glass of water, and waited for roots to grow? How many of you had to do that wonderful experiment? Do they still do that? No. You see, the good old days when you had to put a tooth with toothpicks in a potato and watch it grow. One of the wonderful things about that was that you would watch this raw potato in this glass with its base touching some water. It wasn't a pretty sight to behold. But if you waited long enough, out of that brown potato, a shoot would come. Roots would grow and spread. And for me, that image is that of what the stump of Jesse is, that Isaiah was talking about, because you think of a stump as being dead. And he says, out of that death, out of that hopelessness, will come something new. When we look at a tree trunk that's been leveled, and it's just the trunk of the tree, or even a tree trunk that is growing, we look at the roots and we look at it grounded, we look at all of it snarled and into the ground, and what's amazing to us is it represents so much of what that tree has been through, the good and the bad. and the stump is apparently a life which is cut off. But out of this part, a new life emerges. The kingdom of Judah felt like that stump. They felt like they were cut off. The same way you and I can feel in our lives at times. They perceived of themselves to be dead and hopeless, the way so many people perceive of their lives. Yet Isaiah holds out to them a proclamation and a vision for new life. This new life, he says, is hope itself. Not a secular hope, but a faithful hope. And he's speaking centuries before, pointing to the hope in Jesus Christ. One of my favorite poets is Emily Dickinson. And she writes, "Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all." She says in that beautiful poetic language that hope is at the same time fragile, like a small bird with feathers, and yet very tough in that it never stops. It keeps on singing. It keeps on flying. And Dickinson captures that hope. It's the hope that Isaiah holds out, and it is the hope of this second Sunday of Advent. Even though there are only some 50 generous, maybe, I think probably less than that, that came out this day, that hope is still there for those that couldn't get here because of the weather. And so we ask ourselves, can this hope rescue us from any false hope by which we live? Can this hope show us a way out of our present anxiety, out of our present not so good condition that each of us has some part of us that is a part of that? Can this hope offer us a new way of living? Can this hope offer us a future? Isaiah goes on to say in that passage that beautiful imagery of the wolf lying down with the lamb and the leopard lying down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together. That's the future. It's a way of peace, a way of order, a way of harmony. Hope paints a picture where wolf and lamb live side by side, harmoniously. The wolf does not devour the lamb, and the lamb does not flee. So hope is a future where the mother of that little boy, James, who will be given a bicycle on Christmas morning, does not try to exchange it for money, for drugs, or alcohol, because she is sober and in recovery. The Advent hope for each of us is alive and well. Live in that hope. Amen.